for some politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
What? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday edition. It's me, it's Mr. FSP, doing what I do because I do it for you always. Well, not always, but 99.97% of the time, co-hosted by my main man, 50 grand, all the way live, challenging to anything and everything in the world, JT, ATM Money. What's going on, JT?
Not much, man. Nothing much. I was sitting back this morning, listening to some War, listening to some Marvin Gaye, man. I'm in a great mood. Talk to me, man.
Wow, tomorrow's going to be a good show. You're listening to War, acting silly. Well, here's the deal, my brother.
What's up?
This is the deal, my brother.
Talk to me.
Today, ladies and gentlemen, on Fantasy Sports and Politics, Jerry and I are going to talk about this madness, this craziness, called the NCAA tournament.
Crazy.
If you listen to Thursday's show, I got ribbed and bent. I got just like hit all over the place for my prediction and my non-committal behavior because I was trying to draw people over to Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com where winners win and players play. Had you listened to me, ladies and gentlemen? Had you listened to me?
Talk to me. Preach.
You would be walking away pretty daggone good on a $10 seven-game parlay.
Really?
Now, yes. Now, if you recall, I said that certain teams would win. They might not have won. They might not have won, but they covered the point spread. I said New Mexico State the Lobos, they were going to lose. I said that Tennessee was going to pull off the upset, and they dominated that game. Not only did they pull up, they dominated that game. The one thing that we all pretty much missed on was Mercer. But for every game, including the Providence game, I said it was going to be close, pay for the spread, and you could have been rolling in the dough. Rolling. I told you UMass was going to get smashed, and it happened. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. My crew might yell at me. They might call me crazy. Jerry might say I need to be drug tested. But when it's all said and done, Mr. FSP is the one. Mr. FSP. I'm Mr. Fantasy Sports and Politics to you. But I digress. I'm going to stop patting myself on the back. I will say this, though. Today's show, we're going to talk about some of these upsets and what's going on. And
Victor,
looks like
before you go any further, you're sounding awful scratchy. I don't know what's going on, but you're sounding awful scratchy. Anytime you speak, it's like a scratch behind you. I don't know. It's like a record that's got scratches on it. That's how you're talking.
Well, I know that I have fire detector that probably needs a new battery, so you're probably going to hear that like every so often.
Well, haven't you done something with it?
Well, because I'm just lazy. But besides that, I'm not lazy when it comes to these picks. I'm not lazy when it comes to giving people the information of this March Madness, and no one's going to win $1 billion. Nobody. That's a ripoff.
That's gone.
Everyone. Huh?
That's gone.
Yeah. Out of
that
one,
big wish is
one
gone.
$1.9 billion entries. Not one of them is perfect anymore. That's amazing. Of course, the likelihood of getting a perfect bracket is highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. But we haven't even finished the first round. And everyone in America that plays this has not one perfect bracket left. Interesting. We'll talk about that. Also, we're going to touch upon and we're going to hear from Mike Vick and Matt Schwab on their new digs. One-time teammates in Atlanta, now both fighting for jobs, one in Oakland and one in Jerry's New Jersey Jets. I told you, once Jerry leaves, everything gets better. First Eric Decker, now Mike Vick, soon to be Deshaun Jackson. And you never know, MJD might show up there. You never know. But anyway, we're going to hear from them. Also, I want to go back a little bit. We're going to hear from Tom Izzo on playing Harvard. I told you guys, don't sleep on Harvard. Don't sleep on Stanford. I told you. The
Pac-12. Well, I slept on Stanford, but I had Harvard definitely in my bracket. So I'm patting myself on the back for that because a lot of people said, you picked Harvard? Yes, yes I did. And I got some quick information on Harvard just by happenstance listening to, I forget what sports radio or TV. And a guy was very astute in what he was saying. Even though it was only a four-point win, they did win. They said Cincinnati is not a really good offensive team, and they're a lousy foul-shooting team, and Harvard likes to shoot threes, and Tommy Amaker is no joke. So I said, let me take a shot with that. So I decided to take a shot with Harvard, and it paid off.
Yeah. Darryl Dawkins has Stanford looking pretty good, too. You know, I'm telling you guys, the Pac-12, watch out for the Pac-12. But we're going to talk about that. So we're going to hear from Tom Izzo, Bill Self, you know, Kansas.
Kansas, right.
You know, their issues going on. We are going to hear some fantasy baseball stuff from Clayton Kershaw, someone that just got Jerry a win in fantasy baseball.
Not yet. He got me one win. That's good. I'm loving that.
But he has a possibility before week one is even done in fantasy baseball to have three victories. This is crazy.
Say that again.
I believe he has three opportunities. Well, two more opportunities before the first week of the season is over to pitch three times.
Who? Clayton Kershaw?
Yes, because this was the opening game of MLB season. However, there's still some spring training going on, and the season doesn't really begin until the 31st.
Yep.
So he's going to pitch the opening game of the series for the
Dodgers. That's on a Monday.
And then he's going to pitch the opening game away against I'm giving it a plan. But that's three starts in 1 week for the best pitcher in baseball.
My man. Who has that pitcher? Talk to me.
A liar who made an agreement with me who said they were going to do something but failed to do it because they're a liar.
Hey, I think you got on that board something that relates to that. I think they play the OJs play it. Let's sing it.
Hold on. Where you got it at?
Some people got to have it. Money, money, money. There it is. That's what I'm talking about.
You're such a liar.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, we're not even going to do it. I'm not even going to play it. You bad boozle me? You boozle me? I will never.
I didn't try to boo. No, I didn't. No.
No.
Money, man.
Gotta
have it. Makes you do crazy things. You listen to that song. It makes you do things, man.
Yeah, I see. It made you do some things.
I lost my mind,
no,
and I got some sense, and I picked up Clayton Kershaw, and you're telling me I didn't realize that But you're telling me he may get he's going to get three starts and possibly three wins?
Okay.
Oh, what a way to start the season off.
Just such a dirtbag. Anyway,
Victor, before we go on,
because
I got a question for you. Let me ask this question, please. We banter about this all the time. But I really got to ask you this question. Do you hear me calling you any kind of names, any derogatory names out of your God-given name, as in Victor or Mr. FSP? Do I call you dirtbag? Did I call you liar? Do I call you any of that?
No,
I don't call you that. But I'm constantly barraged by you, bombarded by you, with all these disparaging remarks and all these bad words, names you call me. And it's hurting my feelings. Hurting my feelings.
I will not do it as long as you don't call me too sweet and don't lie anymore. But the minute you call me too sweet and the minute you lie, there will be some negativity. Going to hurt somebody's feelings. Yo, Wood.
Make me want to holler, throw up my hands.
You say this to Marvin. But I won't do it. Long as too sweet or no lying comes about, I'll try my best.
I haven't called you that in quite a while. Have not called
but
you
lied.
That in a while. Hmm?
But you lied. But you lied to me.
No.
You didn't lie.
No, I didn't.
Let's not revisit that. We still got a show to do.
Yes, I know. I know. We can go back. Like I said, we can banter back and forth for this whole show doing this. But go ahead.
Oh, yeah. When I play the Clayton Kershaw soundbite, that's when we're going to get into it. Because I have him paid, and you know this. But anyway,
talk to me. Go ahead.
You are. Piece of work. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, if you want to get in on this conversation, you can dial the number 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. That is the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com hotline where winners win and players play. And again, if you listen to FSP on Thursday and you laid your bet, you would be a winner. I did not have North Dakota State winning, but they did. I didn't think it was going to be that hard, but it was. At any rate, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of great games coming up tonight. You might want to get some bets in. I'm just telling you. All right. So let's start here, okay? We'll save baseball for last because we're on the topic of March Madness. Now, I opened up the show talking about how crazy things have been for everybody. You know, Wichita State has the quote-unquote murderer's row. They got to play Kentucky next. And Duke took a tumble to Mercer, and it looks like Wichita State is going to end up playing Mercer, if I'm not mistaken. And it might not be that easy of a game because Mercer also was a team that was supposed to be in the tourney last year. Florida Gulf Coast or whatever beat them, and then they made that miracle run, so they're trying to say that Mercer's going to do the same thing. This is a crazy, crazy, crazy tournament, and we're not even out of the first round. Right now, let's hear from Bill Self.
Well, we're out of the first round. We're into the 32 now,
meaning,
right?
Correct. Meaning the first round was before the first round ended, a lot of craziness went on.
Right.
That's what I was getting to. But let's hear about Bill Self. Let's hear from Bill Self about the tough, fought, hard victory that his ball club got in a close game that folks didn't think was going to be close. Here's Bill Self.
So fortunate because I thought Eastern Kentucky was well prepared. They played great. They played loose and certainly gave us everything we wanted. And fortunately, the second half, we settled down a little bit and took better care of the basketball. But it was a hard-fought game and one in which we had to work our tail off for 40 minutes to come out with a win.
Again, Some people think that it's a walk in the park, NCAA. Western Kentucky, come on now. Did you think West Kentucky was going to give Kansas a tough go at it?
Eastern Kentucky.
Eastern Kentucky.
No. No, I mean, Kansas won, looked like they won comfortably, 80-69. They probably had to fight tooth and nail, probably the first half, because usually teams give a team that they perceive to be the more dominant team, usually the weaker team, comes out and gives them the best shot up to a certain point until the most of the time, until the better team flexes its muscle and settles down and realizes what the weaker team is trying to do. And then they generally smack them down when the game gets down near the end. And that's what it looked like what happened here. I mean, it was close for most part of the game, but the stronger team pulled away when it counted, and meaning Kansas. I mean, they had to fight for it. It wasn't going to be easy for them, quite naturally, because Eastern Kentucky, they had nothing to lose. They're the 15th seed. They got nothing to lose. To give them the best shot against the number 2 seed, they held it. I don't know what the point spread was. It's got to probably be more than 11 points. So they did well in the spot that they were in.
I agree with you. And just to point something out, in the fantasy sports and politics brackets, Mr. Taylor's tied for number 17. I'm tied for number 1. I am number 1, no matter how you – I'm just saying. I am number 1.
So how many did you have right first teams?
25 out of 32 and 24 out of 32.
I didn't have a – I didn't fill out the bracket – in your league for the fantasy for the NCAA tournament. I did it in another league, and I had 22 out of 32. So I would have been right behind you.
Well, you are. You're at 22 of 32 in this one.
Am I?
Yeah.
See,
but
that's
still only 17.
It's almost what?
It's still 17th.
Really?
Yes.
Well, let me ask you something. What's the name of your league?
Tennessee Sports and Politics, Jerry. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, because I don't see it. I hold on a minute here. Let me just see something.
Jerry Taylor's
maybe
Groovy Bracket. That's the name of your team, buddy.
Ah, okay, yes. And I'm 17. I'm way down there. Okay.
Well, I'm way up there.
And let me see now. You got a possibility of what? Big Daddy's best bracket? Is that you?
No.
Mr. FSP to you. Okay. So you got a possible max of 167 points. I got a possible max of 170.
Yes.
So. Yep, possible. So just because you won the first set of games doesn't necessarily mean that once you start getting into the second set of games, even though you're up there tied for first with five other people, you won't be after this weekend's over.
We'll see. We shall see. But anyway, I digress. Now, here's a game. Right, that I think we're probably going to split on. You said you had Harvard, right? You picked Harvard.
Yes.
They're going against Michigan State. I believe you had Michigan State as well.
Absolutely.
Now,
and I gave you a statistic why, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, no, that's all right. In this matchup, we're going to talk. We're going to hear from Tom Izzo, but I want to get your thoughts before we hear from Tom about. The chances of Harvard pulling off the upset. Go ahead.
No shot.
What do you expect?
No shot. No shot. Michigan is healthy. Michigan's record, I stated this on Thursday, and I'll state it again. And if I'm not mistaken, somebody call in and call me on it. But when they're healthy, which they are now, their record now, because they've won this game, is 22-1. 22-1. They handled Delaware, okay? Now they're going against number 12, Harvard. Cincinnati was, in my opinion, not ranked properly in this bracket, and obviously it wasn't because Harvard did beat them. But playing Cincinnati and playing Michigan State is like playing night and day. They can rebound. They play defense because of the Tom Izzo team, and they do have some good offense. So they have a well-rounded team that Harvard has to play. I know Harvard's a good team, I know Tommy Amaker knows Michigan State because he used to coach in Michigan, but I like Michigan State, and I don't think it's going to be close.
I can agree. I think Michigan State is going to win. However, I disagree about the closeness of this game. I really do. This is one of these opportunities where people that want to wager on it need to go to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com where winners win and players play to place a wager here. There's an opportunity. Just like we all thought that Virginia Commonwealth was going to be SF Austin.
What's the point spread?
Point spread over there? I didn't go to the point spread part. But
what's the point spread between Harvard and Michigan State? Do you know?
No, I do not know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. But VCU took that L. Shaka Smart and the rest of those guys took that L from SF Austin. And you know, that was an upset.
Oh, yeah, man. I pissed off about that. I couldn't believe that.
But any given day, a team can come out and outperform you. And we're going to hear from Tom Izzo right now as to his thoughts about his team's upcoming performance versus Harvard.
Knowing Tommy like I do and his wife, you know, Harvard's been just kind of a great situation for him. And where he's taken that place is unbelievable. To me, and they're a good, solid basketball team, and Tommy is a good, solid human being and a great coach, and so consequently, nothing surprises me about this.
I have to totally agree with him, Victor. Tommy Amaker is he's at Harvard, and this is the second year in a row that they pulled an upset and moved on in the tournament. And it's no accident. Tommy Amaker is a hell of a coach. He's, just like Izzo said, he's in a great spot. He's a highly intelligent person at a school that's highly intelligent people at it with some very good players to go along with it. So I have nothing but kudos for Tommy Amaker because he's doing a hell of a job. He did a good job at Michigan. He tried to turn that around. Quite naturally, he jumped at the job at Harvard that he went to, and he's got nothing but good things that are happening for him there.
Okay. Well, you know, Michigan State, they always stand a chance. I think the president picked Michigan State to win it all this year as well. Their key, and Izzo is known for this, just like Kansas is known for this, Bill Self in Kansas. They get big boys that rebound the ball. First, second, and third opportunities. That's the key to playing basketball, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the crossover. It's not the one-on-one. It's the big boys down low able to get a rebound. And that's the key in this game. I also have Michigan State advancing on in a couple of my brackets. So I can't disagree with you. I wanted to argue with you, but you're picking Michigan State as well. But when you look at how the team is stacked, you know, they are built for this tournament. They really are.
Yep.
Big guys that can rebound the ball, kick it out to the small guys so they can shoot the ball. That way you're not wasting a lot of energy. you're not going to be, you know, dying third game of the tournament. You got to win, what, five straight games, six straight games?
Yes.
In order to be the champion? All you got to do is rebound, buddy. All you got to do is rebound and get an occasional layup or so and kick it out. Offensive and defensive rebounds, and that's what Michigan State does well. And speaking of which, Iowa State took a big blow, when they lost their, I think it's their forward, their big forward, with a fractured ankle or fractured leg. He's done for the rest of the tournament.
Yeah, I'm upset about that because I had Iowa State going to the Final Four, and I'm really upset about that because their next opponent, which is North Carolina, is no joke, and they need to be at full strength, and they're not going to be, and I think that's going to hurt them.
I agree. However, North Carolina, here's my problem with North Carolina. I'm not sold on it. I'm not. It's just a matter of, you know, can they put it all together for a six-game run? And I say no.
No, I don't believe that.
They look good in their opening round, but I just don't think they're ready or able to put it together. I actually had them losing in the first round. I did, in one of my brackets. They came out and got the good victory. They were good about that. But right now, North Carolina, since we want to talk about them, you know, I think, because they're in the East, right? Yeah. I had Providence put up a good fight. Providence should have won that game, in my opinion. They did not. But you saw why I thought they should win. Because they just go after the ball. They're rough. They're just manhandling the ball type people. But Iowa State, even though they lost their big guy, I think they still can pull out the victory over North Carolina. Only because they're too inconsistent. That's my thought process on that. Nova and UConn, I actually thought St. Joe's was going to pull out the victory. But Nova is going to beat UConn because UConn is just, they're a helpless skelter in me. And Iowa State versus Nova, that's going to be a tough match. I originally had Iowa State beating Nova because of their forward play. But with that guy down, I might not be looking at a good thing there. But that, you know, that tells me Virginia-Michigan State is actually going to determine who comes out of the East.
Yeah, I believe that now. Yeah, you're right. I had Iowa State, like I said, going to the Final Four, and because of that foot fracture of Iowa State, I think it just opens the door for one of those two teams you talked about, Virginia or Michigan State, to get to the Final Four. So,
and I've got Virginia winning it all, only because I think that Virginia, they're a complete team. They are a very complete team, much like Mercer. Mercer has five returning seniors. Virginia has a very similar set of players, and they crash the boards. They crash the boards. Can't say it enough. And they can shoot from the perimeter like nobody's business. So that's why I want to go there. But Florida is in a dogfight right now with Pittsburgh, which I predicted. Actually said that Pittsburgh might pull the upset in this game. But Florida's starting to pull away, 32-24, with in the second quarter or the second half. There are a couple other games I want to get to before we move on. Your thoughts on Creighton or Creighton? let me say it right now. Creighton versus Oregon. No, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Creighton's playing Baylor.
Versus Creighton. Baylor. Creighton's
playing Baylor.
I got Creighton and Oregon going in the next round. That's why I said that. But go ahead.
Okay.
Creighton versus Baylor.
I still like Creighton. I think the dance ends for him at the Sweet 16. I think the dance ends for him at the Elite Eight. But I still like Creighton. I think they're a strong team. They're a well-rounded team. They got a nice player in number, I forget his name, number 55. And I think They can get past Baylor and whoever is the winner of Oregon and Wisconsin. I have Wisconsin with those two, but between those two. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. Another good game, and this will be a test. I actually think that Wichita State can the Shockers, I think they can actually do this one and beat Kentucky. I really think they can beat Kentucky. Kentucky did not look good versus Kansas State. Now, Kansas State isn't a slouch, but Wichita won 64-37. 37 points for a team to make the NCAAs and only score 37 points. That is ridiculous. So out of Wichita State,
what can I tell you?
You know, so I'm like, they're out there banging boards and converting on layups and jump shots. Kentucky's in trouble because they are not a cohesive unit. They are just not a cohesive unit. But what are your thoughts on that game?
Well, I like Wichita State. There's no two ways about it. I think their run's going to end a little bit later, but I like Wichita State, to tell you the truth.
Okay. Another game that's going to – I actually think it should be relatively easy based upon what I saw St. Louis do with North Carolina State. I actually thought North Carolina State was going to pull the upset. But St. Louis, I thought they were better than that. I thought they were better. The Ville had a tough, tough matchup with Manhattan, and that's why Rick Pitino didn't want to face his friend because he knew Manhattan had an opportunity. So
they play the same. They play in the same style. It's like a mirror image. They play the same exact style.
Manhattan had an opportunity to take it to at least, if they were in a different region, possibly the Elite Eight, maybe the Final Four. Maybe. That's how good Manhattan is. And I can understand why Pitino was upset. But how do you see St. Louis and Louisville?
I like Louisville. I'm picking Louisville to go all the way, man. Rick Pitino, I have a lot of faith. If Rick Pitino has a good team, which he has now, he knows how to play his players in a tournament. He's been there before more than once, more than twice, several times. I like Rick Pitino and the Louisville Cardinals.
Okay. Two more games, and I'm going to jump over because I'm not going to go into every game. But I told people Tennessee, look out for Tennessee. They destroyed UMass. Now, Mercer beat Duke. Mercer's a very, very good team. But Tennessee got those boys getting those boards. And Mercer missed a lot of shots in the beginning of that game. A lot of shots. And I think Tennessee can capitalize. I think Tennessee, you look, this is the 11-14 matchup. It's going to be a good game. But I think Tennessee dominates this matchup. What do you think?
Man, this is a tough game to pick. This is tough, tough. Mercer's got five seniors they start. a very experienced team. Obviously, they don't get rattled because they played Duke and were very confident in playing Duke against two big-time players in Hood and Parker. And completely, basically took them out of the game. They had probably one of the worst games they've had for their career, as short as it's been. I don't know if they can re-energize themselves to play another big game like that against Tennessee. Wow, this is a tough. I'd have to go with Tennessee, man. I really, because Tennessee. I think I wouldn't say dominate, but they're going to win pretty in a decent margin against Mercer. I think they, for lack of a better word, spent their load against Duke. So
okay, I can agree with that. Last game I want to talk about is the team that I actually have projected to play in the national championship game, and that's Michigan versus Texas. Now, Texas, Arizona State, what did I tell you about teams from Pac-12? Arizona State covered the point spread, ladies and gentlemen. I told you guys, pick them. Pick them. They covered the point spread. They only lost by two. And Texas comes in, because I didn't think they could stick with the up and down tempo of Arizona State, but they did. But they're going against Michigan. And Michigan is deadly from the outside. They are deadly from the outside. Obviously, I'm picking Michigan in this game. Who do you have, JT?
Ditto. I have to play ditto. I think they're too strong, more physical team, I think, than Texas, and I think they're going to dominate.
Okay. All right. I'm going to leave everything else alone as we transition to a new topic. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get in on the conversation right here on blogtalkradio.com, you can either call in on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com hotline.
Where winners win and players play.
There you go. That's finishing it off for me. 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. Or you can join us in the chat room. As Jerry likes to say, whatever you say in there, be prepared to talk about it on the air because we're going no holds barred. You can come to blogtalkradio.com/DICHBK. Click on this show, the current show, and jump in the chat room. We'll talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. Try to keep it on topic. But if you go off, we can discuss that too. All right. Next topic of discussion would be, we might come back to basketball. I'm not sure if I want to do it. We might come back to basketball. But I want to talk about some NFL. So after this break, when I come back, or when JT and I come back, we're going to discuss some moves in the New York, New Jersey area and how this affects draft of players and the remaining free agents. We'll be back in about 2 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Stick and stay with me. This is your boy FSP and your boy JT. We'll be back.
For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad to, well, this is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to,
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, baby?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety. If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The Master Plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is The Master Plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety.
Hi, I'm Russell Gilchrist. When I need fantasy sports advice, I listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics on Blog Talk Radio.
All right. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. And it's time to talk about a little bit of football. A little bit of football, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of everything.
Victor, before we get into about the quarterbacks, this is just I wouldn't say breaking news, but it's just reported on rotoworld.com about around 11:30 that the New York Daily News Manish Mehta reports Deshaun Jackson is unwilling to restructure his $10.5 million salary to expedite a trade and may ultimately be released by the Eagles. This is a quote. Philly is trading him or cutting him. And that's a fact. They don't want him. Cutting Jackson would save $6.5 million against the 2014 cap, and perhaps more importantly, shave roughly $11 million off Philly's 2015 salary cap commitments. The Eagles would obviously much rather trade Jackson, but his unwillingness to restructure and the Eagles' intent to cut him make a trade increasingly unlikely. And quite natural, we know the Jets, because of Vic and the Jackson connection, and the Panthers would lead the chase because they both need wide receivers if and when Jackson is released. San Francisco and Seattle are also reportedly interested.
Wow. But you know what?
What's up?
He's going to go to Carolina. One, they have the money. Two, they need another receiver other than Jericho Cotchin. Three, they've got the money. Can you...
And Deshaun is, and I hate to say it like, no, I don't hate to say it like this. Deshaun is a typical California guy. He was a huge ego and sensitive feelings and talks too much about himself and is all about the money. Did I describe him correctly or not?
Well, that was his father before his father passed away, and it seemingly has rubbed off on the son. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I remember seeing Deshaun Jackson when I was in when I went to AIT. He was playing in the Army's High School All-American game, and he took off from the 10-yard line, and he leaped all the way to the end zone, but he fumbled the ball before he got into the end zone. And he did it again. And he fumbled again. And I was like, this young kid, right? This young kid, who is this guy? And what was his first touchdown in the NFL, or his supposed first touchdown in the NFL like? He drops the ball before he crosses the end zone line. I mean, full of himself.
Yep.
He has every right to be. He has every right to be. But, you know, he can back it up. You know what I mean? He can back it up. But the writing is on the wall.
Victor, see, and I thought you didn't like this type of guy because he's full of himself and it's all about him. And this is typical, and you got it sitting there. It's typical of what Mike Singleton was about. It's more about the more about him than it is about the team. And that's the problem. And wherever he goes, because that's his personality. That's the way he is. He's going to carry that to him to wherever he goes. So the management and coaching staff and his teammates are got to be willing to put up with that, because that's the way he is. He's not going to change. That's the way he is.
Well, the thing about it is, JT, is And I got to rethink what I said about him going to Carolina, because that was the sole reason, or one of the big reasons, why Carolina said they let Steve Smith go, because they only saved $1 million on the cap by letting
mm-hmm.
him go. Yes,
mm-hmm.
he's older, but he still got to be, and he's still one of the better players in the NFL, and he's a little injury prone, but I got it. They were able to put up with his, you know, I'm not going to say his antics, but his thug mentality.
Personality.
Yeah, thug personality on the field, because he wasn't
mm-hmm.
that way off the field, you know. But on that field, he was, I'm back in the hood type deal. Now, Deshaun
mm-hmm.
Jackson, great talent, great speed. You pair him with a gun of Cam Newton and a defense that's going to stop people and give you many opportunities, that's great. But are they willing to deal with the issues? Another place that can afford him and he could probably go to is come back home. He can come home to Matt Shaw and the Oakland Raiders, which is a perfect transition to the soundbite I'm going to play. You put him out here in Oakland, and quietly, Reggie McKenzie's putting together a decent team in Oakland. Quietly. We'll hear about Matt Sharp moving forward, and this was prior to this issue with DeSean Jackson. And if the Raiders are in the mix, and it's home, Oakland, the boy's from this area. He's from the Bay Area. You might have some trouble. Here we go.
Foot's great, healthy, excited about this opportunity, moving on. You know, the past is the past. I can't do anything but move on and to bigger and better things, and I'm excited for what the future holds here with Oakland, and just excited to get to work. Happy to be here and, you know, very confident in my abilities and the players that are on this team.
So, for a sixth-round pick who cost your Texans two first-round picks and several pick sixes later, I hope you like how I did that, Matt Schaub ends up in Oakland. And quite possibly to follow, quite possibly, especially if he gets cut, he gets to pick where he wants to go, DeSean Jackson. What are your thoughts about your team letting Matt Schaub go, him landing in Oakland, and what he has in Oakland to work with?
Matt Schaub is Matt Schaub. You know, he needed a change of scenery. His time in Houston had ended. That was obvious. His time in Houston had ended. He had run his course. He was the Gary Kubiak quarterback that he brought in. Well, Gary Kubiak's not there anymore. Bill O'Brien is there. Bill O'Brien's got a different philosophy, and the whole organization just said he's not worth the double-digit millions that he was going to warrant this season. So we'll have to, the jury's still out if he can revive his career, because the last few seasons it's been up and down, and last season was a downer for him. See if he can revive his career in Oakland. I don't wish him any ill will. I like Matt Schaub, but his time had ended in Texas. So hopefully he can do better in Oakland and improve the offense, especially in the quarterback position, that Oakland can do better than they have been doing in the last few years with the carousel of quarterbacks that have been running through there. And if they get DeSean Jackson, that's an issue. You see how disgruntled Andre Johnson, who is for most people think he's an even-keeled player that doesn't show a lot of emotion, either on the sidelines or on the field, how he got disgusted and fed up with Matt Schaub and his inability to perform as a quarterback. What do you think DeSean Jackson, if he lands in Oakland and Matt Schaub starts screwing up? That's going to be a three-ring circus. I'm telling you, DeSean Jackson, he needs to go to a place that's not going to be putting up with that BS at all. And there's only one place that I can think of, two places I can think of, and they're all both in the AFC, that will not put up with his garbage, or he'll be out of there in a heartbeat. One place it is in New England, where they don't want to put up with any kind of diva, and the other place would be where Steve Smith landed, in Baltimore, where they're not going to put up with a lot. Another spot is in Pittsburgh. Those are the three spots that I can think right off the top of my head. They're not going to put up with a whole bunch of garbage. Either you come in and play and you play with the team, or you're out of here. Plain and simple.
Dude, I think you got something there, because Pittsburgh's out of receivers other than Antonio Brown. He's the only receiver they got left. Plexico, okay, Plexico's probably done. You know, I don't think he's going to – if he is going to play, he's going to be a significant contributor. But you put – and you keep him in the state. You keep him in the state. You just send him to Pittsburgh, and he gets to play in Heinz Field. Big Ben, he's like, okay, I got all this speed here. Oh, my God. That would be – and they put Le'Veon Bell in the backfield. They fix their offensive line. That, you just hit on something there. The evil empire, yeah, I don't think Tom Brady would put up with that. Baltimore, nah, not enough balls to go around. Steve Smith, Dennis Pitta,
Torrey
Mr.
Smith.
Smith. Torrey mm-hmm. Smith. Yeah, I said Steve Smith because Steve Smith is there now. Then you got Jacoby Jones possibly getting something. Then you got Ray Rice getting the ball. There's not enough balls to go around in Baltimore. So I don't even – I could see Ozzie Smith or Ozzie Newsome saying, hey, shut it up, you get paid, talk, you're out. But he won't be satisfied because there's not enough balls to go. But I like the Pittsburgh thing. I didn't think about that. They need a they need a receiver, an impactful receiver. They have the money. He's a proven receiver, but do they want another small guy? You know what I mean?
Why not? Why not? They had Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown, and they were effective. So
correct, but they weren't. They didn't have the impact of the game like a big guy like Mike Wallace. You know, Mike Wallace was a nine guy, but he's also a big guy that could catch some of those hooks and make a smaller cornerback miss or shake off a smaller cornerback and do some damage. So that's a possibility there. But that's a very good point, JT. Very good point. Very good point. But we talked about Matt Schaub, Deshaun Jackson, possibly going to Oakland. Let's talk about your real team. Your real team and Matt Schaub's partner for about 4 years in the ACL, Mike Vick. Here's Mike Vick and what he has to say about what he brings to the Jets organization.
Again, a great football player and a great person. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you know, regardless of what happened in the past, I'm here to do one thing, and that's play football. And you know, I think, you know, that will be embraced. I think it's already been embraced in the building as of right now, and I look forward to it.
Here's what I got to say about this, JT. Earlier on or later on in that same interview, Mike Vick was asked, okay, would you be happy just being the backup? And he, Mike Vick started to go non-politically correct. He was like, I know what I came here for, came here to do, da-da-da-da-da. Geno Smith is in trouble. Geno Smith is a, what, third-round pick, second- or third-round pick, not getting paid a lot of money. I think he and Mike Vick are making about the same amount of money. And Mike Vick has a lot more experience and better accuracy. And that's saying a lot about Geno's accuracy. Michael Vick has more accuracy. But Mike Vick is going to take that job. Mike Vick and Eric Decker is going to be a very good combination. The other receiver up there, the young guy that's been there for a couple years but never materialized, should show up. You got to decide who your running back's going to be. Is it going to be Bilal Powell or is it going to be Chris Ivory? Is it going to be whoever? But I think Mike Vick has a very good opportunity to resurrect his career. The problem I see, though, is he's in a division with the Evil Empire. And that's a big game. Not to mention, the Miami Dolphins are up and coming, and so is Buffalo. So, you know, Mike Vick has an opportunity to prove something here. Win you back, because you know how much you love your J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Not happening.
But what are your thoughts?
My thoughts is Geno Smith, make me want to holler, throw up both my hands. You're right. Geno Smith's in trouble. This is Michael Vick's job to lose, in my opinion. I know Geno Smith is going to try his best, but he's been in Monty Morningway's offense longer than Geno Smith has. He's a veteran quarterback. It's not like he's going into his second year. He's been around for quite a while, and he's matured quite a bit. And going from Philly to New York is not a big transition for him. So it's just a matter of getting acquainted with the wide receiver core that he has, what little that he has. I think it's a good move for the Jets. It's a pass move, let me put it that way. Hope maybe he'll mentor Geno Smith, and Geno Smith is the quarterback of the future. Michael Vick is a win-now type of quarterback because he's 34 years old. It's obvious that he doesn't have too much more time left in the NFL, and this probably is his last stop in a starting role position. So hopefully he makes the best of it. It's a good move. I mean, he can't lose. I think it's going to be a problem because it's been talked that DeSean Jackson may transition over there to New York too. DeSean Jackson, New York, I think they're going to get tired of his game and his attitude quick if he goes that way.
Look, Rex Ryan put up with San Antonio Holmes. San Antonio just took a bunch of y'all money and rolled out. I don't think he put up with DeSean Jackson, who actually wants to contribute.
No.
You know?
No. You think they would or you think they won't?
I think they would. Because if they can
do
it with San Antonio Holmes.
No way. You have to think who the general manager is. John Isaac from coming from the Seattle organization where everything is us or we and nothing is me. And he's gotten rid of some character guys, some guys that have some character flaws that are all, basically about me. One of them is Antonio Holmes. Another one was Antonio Cromartie. That's one of the reasons why he got out, because Antonio, even though he had somewhat of a good season, really not his best season as the year before, was a, for lack of a better word, a jailhouse lawyer. So those guys are going bye-bye. They want to change the character of the locker room and the type of play that's on the field. To bring in a DeSean Jackson, that's not the John Isaac type of guy, even though Rex Ryan feels that he probably can control him. He needs a strict structure like the teams I talked about. Anything other than that, he's going to be a distraction and a problem.
Okay. Now, before I get to the guys that are still on free agency, I want to talk about the impact of these signings to the upcoming quarterbacks. Does this mean, or does this put Manziel, Bortles, Bridgewater, and all these other cats that's supposed to be top five picks this year on the back burner? Because, okay, Matt Schaub goes to Oakland, where they have a decent quarterback already there. They still got Terrell Pryor, who could, you know, be a spark if they need him to be. The young quarterback there, I forgot his name, but everybody likes him. So they look decent at quarterback. Maybe not the future there. Cleveland is still looking for their quarterback, but they're going to roll with Bobby Hoyer for now, which isn't a bad move. He might be fantasy gold next year, especially with all the weapons he's getting up there in Cleveland. Jacksonville, they got Chad Henne for 2 years, you know, not that much money. Does this speak volumes to what Bridgewater's workout was or Bortles' workout was? Or is it just saying, okay, well, you know what, these are just going to be stopgap, you know, folks, and they're still going to get drafted in the top five? What are your thoughts, JT?
Thoughts on who? Texans?
On every quarterback coming out of the draft thus far, with the movement in the NFL at quarterback, does this signal?
Well, I still think that Cleveland Browns are going to draft a quarterback. Jacksonville is going to draft a quarterback. Minnesota is probably going to draft a quarterback. I'm trying to think. The Texans. they're probably going to draft the quarterback, but I don't think the first set of names I called the teams out are going to probably draft the quarterback in the first round. I don't think the Texans, even though it's been reported by one of the named reporters in Texas, that they're going to, more than likely because of Matt Schaub being gone, that they're going to be drafting a quarterback at the first pick. I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to draft a quarterback in the second round. But the teams that are high up in the draft, within the top 10, top 7, I think Minnesota's 8 or 9 or somewhere around there, I think they're all going to try to get a quarterback. I don't think any of these quarterbacks, in my opinion, are first-round picks. I don't think any of them are first-round picks. I think they're second-round and below. I don't think any of them are first-round picks. I don't think any of them are not even Blake Bortles. He's a second-round pick, in my opinion, or a late first-round. He is not an early first-round pick. I really believe that. I've seen these guys, and I do not – I'm not impressed. Not impressed. I think most of these guys, they get drafted, they're going to fall around the Christian Ponder type of guys. I don't think they're going to be that well. Teddy Bridgewater, there's something – I've seen Teddy Bridgewater. There's something about this guy that tells me that once he gets to the NFL, he is going to just not play well. There's just something. I look at this guy. I looked at him, looked at his body language at the combine. I looked at his body language in what I've seen in his pro day. There is something about that guy that tells me that he is not going to play well in the NFL. And they're tabbing him as the number one. Well, now they knocked him down. None of these guys, in my opinion, are first-round picks. None of them. None of them. Not an RG3 type of quarterback. Not a Andrew Luck type of quarterback. No. These guys aren't even on that level. So if you have Andrew Luck going first, you had RG3 going second when that draft came about, where do these guys fall? They don't show that even close to that skill set. So how can they be justifiably in the first round, either one pick or five pick or whatever in the first round? Late first round, at least the second round. No first round pick to me. I can't see it. I cannot see it. But because there's some quarterback needy teams, they're going to reach up for these quarterbacks because – they're not going to be there in the second round. So they're going to be first-round picks.
Well, here's my question, JT.
Yeah.
And I agree with you to an extent. Cleveland has two first-round picks, so they're also going to get a quarterback. I just think it's going to be late. And that's where they're going to get Johnny Manziel late. Or Blake Bortles.
Who?
Cleveland.
Oh.
But here's my question. Let's say your hypothesis is spot on, and no quarterback here deserves to be picked in the first 10 picks or whatever case may be, and they're not. Who then is your top 10 to be drafted this year? I know you're not prepared for it, but since we're discussing it, let's get into it. I mean, do you see this as a receiver-heavy top 10, a lineman heavy top 10? Does the kid
lineman
from Buffalo?
There's a lot of teams out there that either need defense or offensive linemen. Big boys, fat bodies. That should be up near the top. Defensive linemen and offensive linemen should be near the top of this. With a sprinkle of sprinkle of Khalil Mack. Or that like. But I don't see in the top 10 a quarterback that should go there. We're talking about defensive players and offensive players, fat bodies or big boys, either defensive linemen, offensive linemen, or linebackers. With a sprinkle of one guy that I think on the offensive side that should go within the top 10, and that's Sammy Watkins, a wide receiver. But other than that, this should be a big boy with linebackers, big boy top 10 draft, without a doubt.
Okay, so you still got Jadeveon going to your Texans. Then that might send Greg Olsen out of Auburn to St. Louis, even though they re-signed their tackle. But that's a lot of money they're putting in that tackle. They signed Long to a big deal. They just signed Stoverlerfer, whatever his name is, the guy that failed the physical in Oakland. You know, they just signed them. I think, well, we just lost my cousin.
Oh, you're talking about Richard Stafford. You're talking about Stafford. Stafford.
Yeah, whatever his name is.
Stafford. He used to be a lineman for the St. Louis Rams. Now, now he's. In fact, I think he got re-signed by the Rams, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Yes.
He did. That's what I'm saying. If they were to go after Greg Olsen or Greg, I can't remember his last name, the kid out of Auburn, the left tackle. That's
Greg Robinson. Greg Robinson.
Robinson. Thank you.
Yes.
That would be a lot of money they're putting in that one position. So. That might not happen. But then you got, as you said, the cream of the crop are the offensive tackles. You got Matthews. You got Lawson, the kid out of Michigan, who I think is going to be an excellent tackle. He has got great footwork. And I see him going to Atlanta maybe. Then you got Khalil Mack, who could be the number one overall pick, really. But he might fly because of the need. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I can agree with that. But only Sammy Watkins, the only offensive player, that's tough for me to believe, dude, especially with Oakland sitting there, with Cleveland sitting there.
Well, I'm not saying they won't take a quarterback. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, you asked me my opinion. I'm saying in the top 10, I don't think there's a quarterback that's worthy of a top 10 pick in this draft. But because there are teams that need quarterbacks, quarterbacks are going to be taken when those teams' draft pick come available. So that's different. That's different from me thinking that they're top 10 draft picks and then a team thinking, well, we need this quarterback, and we know it's not going to be in the second round. So we got to take him in the first round if we want to get him. And rather than get the quarterback, rather than not get the quarterback that they're looking for and settle on a quarterback that they would be normally be in the second round, they're going to go up there and reach for a quarterback, which, in my opinion, when you reach for a player, a lot of times that doesn't pan out because you're just getting the player. It's not what it's what you need, but it's not the players you need in that position, and you're wasting, in my opinion, a first round pick because you're reaching for a player that shouldn't be in the first round. That's going to should be in the second round, but you know he's not going to be there because if he is, he's going to be taken. So you got to reach for him in the first round.
Okay. I mean, I understand the philosophy. I really do. Do I agree with it? No, I think it's a top-heavy lineman draft. I really do. I'm very surprised that only one running back might crack the first round, which is at the bottom of the first round. That's get out of the Washington, University of Washington. I actually thought my guy out of Ohio State was going to do well, but apparently not. He hasn't been looking too good, and folks aren't happy about it. So the only running back that seems to be going in the first round is the guy out of Washington, University of Washington, but that's not even a given. I do agree, just like last year, much of last year was lineman-oriented. Lineman-oriented. I agree. So hopefully.
See, so you, you have to understand this, Victor, and I'll keep on emphasizing this. And I could be proven wrong, but you got to understand exactly what I've been saying ever since the Super Bowl has been ended. The NFL, and everybody knows it, is a copycat league, and it's been repeated before on TV. The formula for Seattle, the formula for San Francisco, for the most part, and what's going to be the formula in the future, because they said so, for the New Orleans Saints, they're going to go back, they're going to be running the ball more often. So running backs, even though they downplay what running backs' value is, they're going to be running the ball. And a lot of times, a lot of teams have been running the ball with a running back by committee. But running the ball and playing defense and passing the ball less, a lot of teams are going to that philosophy. So in my opinion, you get offensive linemen. Quite naturally, they have to protect the quarterback, but you also want them to be effective in the running game. And so offensive linemen, and then also, like Seattle, you got to have big bodies to rush the quarterback and to stop the run. So you want to be able to have effective linemen and linebackers to play good defense, along with DBs, which are plentiful in this draft. Safeties and DBs are plentiful in this draft, along with wide receivers. And they said it, this is a draft for whatever you want in this draft, really, except for a quarterback, a franchise quarterback supposedly, but whatever you want in this draft as it pertains to running backs, because there's just a lot of running backs in this draft, in my opinion, wide receivers, linemen on both sides, defense and offense, and linebackers, along with DBs, there's a lot of players in this draft for whatever you need. Quarterbacks are questionable whether they are first-round material, but they're going to be picked in the first round. So depending on what your need is early in draft, if you want to reach for a quarterback or you can wait on the quarterback, but there's a lot of linemen, offensive, defensive, that are going to go early, in my opinion.
I agree, old man. I agree. Check it out. We're going to take a break because it's a very good conversation. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little fantasy baseball, ladies and gentlemen. Just a little fantasy baseball. Take a seat with me, some boy FSP and his main man, 50 grand JTHM money. We'll be back. Here's a little self-promotion.
If you're into fantasy sports, you're going to love the Fantasy Sports Show with host Victor Gardner and co-host Jerry and Black every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. This show is so hot, I can only play the intro.
Fantasy Sports and Policy.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Fantasy Sports Show. Information, motivation, variety. If you're looking to whet your appetite for engaging and informative talk radio, the lineup at the Fantasy Sports and Politics Network has exactly what you need. Shows like The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, Time Out with women's basketball legend Sylvia Crawley, Compassion Dakini hosted by Kim Fung, No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor, The FSP Crew Show with co-hosts Jerry, Black, and The Joker, and The Fantasy Sports and Politics Show all focus on the hot topics in sports, politics, and in life. By visiting fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com, you'll gain great insight into each program and host, access to the show's archive, as well as outstanding articles, photos, and a whole lot more. As well, because of its large and steadily growing following, fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com is a great place to advertise. Stop by today at fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety.
Yay! All right, JT, we're back. About to close the show out last 15 minutes, last segment of the show. I saved it for last because I plan to be kicking your ass this year in fantasy baseball.
Well, first you got to get past Hakuna Matata. That's the first. first order of business. Before you even think about coming this way, buddy, you got to think about Hakuna Tata.
First off, you need to slow your roll, young man. Slow your roll. Because I'm going to get past him. You better hope you beat JDK 2013. Slow your roll. All right, now, I promised everybody in the league that I would make an announcement today. And it's been talked about a little bit on the message board as to what it is we're going to do with this $50 that I thought was a good idea to have go to a team that had the best ERA and batting average in the whole league. However, that didn't float too well. One other suggestion was to have the $50 go to the number one overall seed. And I'm like, no, because that person's already getting $25 for winning the division, and they're the number one seed. So.
See, Victor, before you go any further, see, Victor, that's why I told you when we were doing the live draft that you should have played all that out before the season started, before we had a draft. So everybody was on board and knew what the payout was. And now you got guys, some guys happy, some guys not, some guys making all kinds of suggestions or whatever, when you could have all that ironed out before we even had the draft. That's the reason why I said that, because this is what you're getting now, guys interjecting all kinds of comments. And you could have avoided that or avoided it before the season started, before the draft even came about. That's why I said that. Make it all above board. Everybody's know what's going on before, not have all kinds of sometimes little backbiting or whatever else the comments are coming across. So I was just trying to alleviate it for you. That's all.
Okay, Mr. Pro-Commissioner. First of all, we didn't even know we were going to have a daggone lead.
Well, besides the point, it didn't make a difference. You'll lay all that out and then let the chips fall where they may.
Can I finish? Thank you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
At any rate, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have, since there is already a position for third place and whatnot, we're going to give the $50, a floating 50, because everything else is accounted for, the floating 50, because I wanted to get a trophy, because Jerry hit me up on this trophy thing. I wanted to buy a trophy, because that's what I intended to do, but whatever. The floating $50 will go to the winner of the 3-4 position in the playoffs. So, once everybody has paid up, because the league champ of last year has yet to pay, I'm just saying, he got into the first, but it would be nice if he paid up right away. That extra $50 will be going to third and fourth. In the event, for some crazy reason, folks decide, well, you know what, I really like my draft, and they haven't paid yet, so maybe one or two people that haven't paid, then that $50 will not be materialized because that's going to be $50 less.
Wait a minute. I got a question for you. You're saying that $50 is going to third and fourth? So if you get third and fourth, you get $25 a piece.
No.
Is that what you're telling?
No. In the consolation, you know you got first and second, right? And then there's a third and fourth to see who ends up third, right?
Right.
The winner of that gets $50.
Okay, so this is at the end of the season when the championship's been decided. Number one,
yes,
quite naturally, gets the bigger of the pot. Number two gets whatever is the pot size of that. And then whoever gets third gets $50.
Correct.
Okay. All right. I understand that. Okay.
So, that is the news on that, ladies and gentlemen. But we're going to get to the sports aspect of it with 10 minutes left. Now, this guy is somebody I had targeted, that I wanted, and I knew I was going to get, because I was talking to people and I was believing people and I was hoping people would tell me the truth.
Are you still harping on this?
Can I finish? I'm not even talking about you yet. I'm
okay, go ahead.
Well, but since you want to interject, I'll throw you in there too. I was talking to people, the guy that had the first pick, the guy that had the second pick, they told me they were going to do certain things, and they lied to me. But it was okay because, you know, I made a deal with a very good friend of mine who, you know, I happen to trust implicitly. And, you know, I told him the only condition I had was that he had to tell me exactly what he was going to do with the pick if we made this draft deal trade. And he told me, and he said, you have my word that if this happens, this happens, this happens, I'm going to do this, 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 or this. Well, we see how much that word is worth. Because Clayton Kershaw ends up getting picked by this one guy that I, maybe it was my mistake in being a trusting person. Maybe.
No.
But we're going to hear from Clayton himself on how relieved he is that the season started.
You know, it's always good to get results, obviously. You know, this one counted finally, so I'm thankful that, you know, I wasn't giving up any runs and, you know, got spring training over with. And obviously in spring training you're not trying to give up runs either, but sometimes you just need the adrenaline of a regular season game and, you know, just kind of feel relieved to get this one under my belt.
So, Mr. Kershaw, as I said earlier at the top of the show, he has a great opportunity to get 3 wins in 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing as though that the Dodgers opened up the season with Arizona in Australia, there's one more game there tonight or this afternoon. Matter of fact, it should be going on right about now, but, well, 4 p.m. Eastern on MLB Network, which is actually very good, especially when you're doing fantasy baseball. They're showing it live at 4 p.m. Eastern as Trevor Cahill goes against the Arizona Diamondbacks. I forget who started for the Arizona Diamondbacks. But anyway, Cahill will open up the season on the 31st for the Dodgers, and that's a Monday. And he'll open up the away game, which I believe is a Friday or Saturday for the Dodgers. So any owners of Clayton Kershaw gets 3 possible victories and a ton of K's and a low ERA and a low whip and all that stuff. I only bring this up because someone made a promise to me. They didn't keep that promise and it hurt. It cuts like a knife. It makes me throw up my hand. I forgot how to tag a song, girl.
Like I said, and I'm looking at the draft. As we speak, I'm looking at the draft, okay? I'm looking at the draft. And I can guarantee you that even JDK 2013, who we picked, or Tainted Gummies, who he picked, and even one of the 6 guys that were ahead of you, or I wouldn't say one of the 6 guys, one of the 12 guys that were ahead of you in the second round would have taken Clayton Kershaw without a doubt in my mind. Because Clayton Kershaw, for the most part, every mock draft that I have done has gone in the first round and early in the second round, no later than that. And you had 2 picks were in the late part of the second round, and you would not have gotten Clayton Kershaw. So I understand your disappointment in me because you thought I was going to be taking someone else other than Clayton, a pitcher, Clayton Kershaw. But he wouldn't have fallen to you. Now, it's speculation on my part, true. But it's also speculation on your part that Clayton Kershaw would have fallen to you and you've gotten Clayton Kershaw and Yu Darvish in two back-to-back picks. So even though I took them, you had 10 guys, at least 10 guys ahead of me, if not more, that would have taken Clayton Kershaw before he landed to you.
Okay.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's guaranteed.
Jerry, that's fine. You can't back it up. That's fine. But what did you promise me? What did you promise?
I told you that I would probably take Paul Goldschmidt on back-to-back picks.
Probably.
I would take. Okay. I told you I was going to take Paul Goldschmidt, but I'm not a real big Paul Goldschmidt guy. And wait a minute. Listen to me, Victor. When we talked, I was hemming and hawing about that last pick, second pick. And you know that I really wasn't feeling Paul Goldschmidt, because I'm not a Paul Goldschmidt guy. I understand he's a good first baseman, but he's a single position guy. I'm not a real big guy on single positions. If you looked at my roster in the past, maybe not this year, but roster in the past, my players play multiple positions so I can move them around. So I really wasn't high on Paul Goldschmidt, even though he was a solid pick for the fourth pick instead of Clayton Kershaw. But I say, you know what? I don't have a second round pick. I don't have a third round pick. I don't have a fifth round pick. So I'm not going to be able to get a big front line pitcher until my fourth round. And there's not going to be a big fourth round pick there. So I had to change my philosophy, because the fact is, you know, I had to think about it and say, you know what, I'm not going to get a big time stud in where I'm picking at. So I got to take a stud with my second pick in the second round, where I would normally probably take a big-time pitcher. I don't have that, so I have it in the first round. So I decided to change. Unfortunately, you assumed that he would be there.
I assumed?
Yes, you assumed that he was going to be there, and
okay,
I took him with my second pick in the first round. But in my opinion, he would not have fallen to you anyway. Now, you got Yu Darvish, but he's not Clayton Kershaw. Big difference. It's a huge Grand Canyon between Kershaw and Yu Darvish. And he would not, in my opinion. Now, of course, we differ, because you thought he was going to be there because what happened. But if I hadn't taken him, I can almost guarantee it, 99, 44, 100%, that he wouldn't fall into you.
Again, I will say this unto you. Your word was your bond. I can care less what other people would have done.
Well,
I just care about what JT, ATM, promised me. That's all I care about.
And what I said, and what I had said also, that when push comes to shove, people have a tendency to change their mind. And what happened in the first two picks didn't happen, but it happened in the fourth pick.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of this show. Jerry and I probably want to talk about this briefly. In overtime, everyone, thank you for listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday edition, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tomorrow, JT is going to talk a little bit about what? JT, real quick.
I'm going to keep on talking about the crazy things that have been going on in the NCAA tournament, man, and whatever else happens to fall on. I mean, it could be NBA also. A little baseball, a little football, a little basketball, and that's the master plan.
And they don't keep their promises. However, the master plan, 10 a.m., I still love you, JT, I do. 10 a.m., Eastern Standard Time, JT, ATM Money, holding down, giving you great information, keeping you concentrated on your concentration, which is winning.
All then I do is win,
Thursday,
win, win, no matter what.
Yeah, I see that, even if it means throwing your brother over the bus. under the box. So you also got Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, FSP with this Big Damn Money, along with Jeff the Joker and Black the Bookie. Then on Fridays, you got Mac and Jerry with No Chaser, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're heading to overtime. See you when I see you. Peace. All right. So real quickly, JT, 8 p.m. Money, we're going to get into this real quick. With spring training wrapping up, with it wrapping up, who do you see or who have you noticed as being that breakout guy, that guy I definitely don't want to put on my team, and who's going to be Mr. Consistency? Those.
Ooh. Ooh. Well, I think the guy that you passed on to me is going to be Mr. Consistency, because he's been Mr. Consistency ever since he's been in the league, Mr. Joey Votto. I think a surprise guy, even though he may start the season on the DL, is somebody I have, is Matt Kemp. I also think another surprise guy, I don't really think he's going to be a surprise, but I think he's going to electrify his team, and that's Billy Hamilton of the Cincinnati Reds. He's been tearing it up on the base pass. Whenever he gets on the base pass, stealing bases, he steals at will. He's been set minor league records, and I think he's going to electrify a lot of teams. Not electrify a lot. He's going to electrify the Cincinnati Reds once he gets on the base pass. There's going to be a lot of buzz because he's the next stolen bases king in waiting, if in my opinion. So as long as he can sustain a decent batting average, he's going to create nightmares for pitchers. A bust? I have to look at that to tell you the truth. I'll have that information by tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time when I talk about a little baseball, a little football, a little basketball on the master plan. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be there.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get out of here. I want to thank JP and Money for jumping on, being my co-host, my cohort, my ace, helping me out. You know, always there for me, except in fantasy baseball drafts. And I'm going to ride that to the fall off. I'll really
I know that. I can see that. That's okay, though. It's all good.
But with that being said, all my fantasy baseball guys in Fantasy Sports Pocket League, there are only three folks that have yet to pay. Last year's champ, and I gave him an opportunity to put the money up front out of the wings he had last year. He chose not to. So, need him to come through. Shane. Come on, Shane. Get your money in. And I know my boy, Hakuna Tejada, he is going to get his fee in. He told me he's going to get in on the first, so, you know, I ain't got a problem with that. I'm saying his situation. But, guys, I gave it to the first. Let's get it in. Let's get it done. Also, I want to thank everybody for listening to all of our programs, because if you are really listening, you should be making money. You should be making some money by going to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com and placing these wagers. I'm telling you. My new show that I'm interested in is on CNBC. It's called Money Talks. It's about a business that pretty much gives this information that we're getting, and they charge you a commission. Now, they do this as their full-time job, and they're pretty good at it. It comes on CNBC, and it's a reality show, which I'm surprised CNBC is going to, but it's pretty good, and it's about a guy and his company in Vegas, VIP, I believe it's called. But I give it to you for free. For free. JT gives it to you for free. We're still worth it, buddy. I'm telling you. All right. JT, you got anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Yeah. I want to say this little tidbit. It's something to what I had to talk about real quick. This is just an article, another article from Pro Football World, from RotoWorld.com. Per the San Francisco Chronicle, it's safe to say the Raiders are not in love with any of this year's top quarterback prospects, something that I had reiterated earlier in the show. Now, not that we rely on the Raiders scouting department to predict NFL success, but this is a note worth filing away for mock drafters. Just what I'm saying is there's not a great prospect of top quarterback prospects in this draft. And you're seeing that these teams are starting to take veteran quarterbacks and perhaps drafting a quarterback later in the draft and grooming that quarterback with the older quarterback playing. So just for mock drafters, just file that in the back of your head that there may be some surprises in the draft, pro and con for the top prospects of quarterbacks. So I'm just saying. And with that being said, I enjoyed this conversation, and it went way too quick for me.
It's all right. Tomorrow at 1 p.m., I'll be doing a fantasy baseball draft with JDK 2013 in his league. Pretty good league, bunch of former guys, the former and current military guys, and they're very sophisticated. It's a very big keeper league, and it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I'm going to be drafting the third overall pick, and they do not do snake. They go, you're picking same position every round.
What?
28 rounds.
Oh, yeah. My God.
So I have the third pick because I was the third worst last year.
That's old school.
They were trying to get
and me. And I wasn't invited. I'm insulted.
You can talk to JDK about that, homie. That ain't me. But
That's all right. I'll take it out on it and beat his ass.
at any rate, a guy, last year's champ, he's made a lot of moves. He pretty much has an entire round except for mine and a few other people's picks. But out of the 12 or 14 of us, in one round, he has like 8 picks.
What?
And I'm like, oh, my God.
How the hell you guys let him do that?
I didn't let him do nothing. Hey, if you made
in what round?
I forget. I think it's like the 10th round or 7th round, one of those rounds. But we start off in the 3rd round because you got 2 keepers. But he was trying to entice me because he has the first pick in the 3rd round, and I got the 3rd. He was trying to entice me by giving me that first pick in the 3rd round, so I have 2 top 3 picks. But he wanted my 6, 7, 8, 10, 11, 12, 13. He's going to give me that first pick in the 3rd, and then like 10, 13, 15.
Oh, hell
like,
no.
No, of course. Of course. And I told him I had to talk to my advisor, which was you, of course. And, I let him know. Couldn't do it. But tomorrow I'll be doing that draft, so I'll be giving you a report sometime shortly on that. But ladies and gentlemen, you need to take your butts on over to FantasySportsBookingCasino.com where winners, winning players play. Bet on that Wichita State, Kentucky game, St. Louis, Louisville, Tennessee, Mercer, and Texas and Michigan. I'm telling you, that's a 4-game parlay that can get you paid. All you got to do is what we said earlier. All you got to do. All right. For my boy, JP ATM Money, and anybody else out there listening to us, and our friends and family members, hey, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack? You in the right place.
So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.